Hi, hello, and welcome to the Disobedient Business Podcast. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Pippa.
And this is the Disobedient Business Podcast, the funny as fuck podcast for business owners who are tired of the business bullshit and ready to fuck shit up and make money doing it. Join us as we dig into all the parts of running a service-based business, from marketing and HR to tech support and operations. We'll take a look at what the conventional wisdom would like you to do and help you to find the disobedient ways to do it better. Welcome back to part two of this week's Disobedient Business Podcast. Today we rejoin Pippa, Sass and I and get stuck straight into community and friendships in the business space. If you haven't already listened to part one, pop back to episode five and take a listen.
Listen, we are in real danger of me not asking you any questions at all about specifically around community and support in the business space. So I'm going to entirely and unsubtly segue into this idea that I find it endlessly fascinating that business owners that have invested in group programs, whether it's people that we've had joyously in the Disobedient Business Mastermind over the last year, or whether it's somebody else's group coaching program, so often state that the biggest benefit, the biggest transformation in their experience has been community, being with like-minded folks, having a space to be able to explore these in-depth and complex and nuanced concepts that make up being a business owner who is also a human.
Yes.
And seemingly disproportionately to the number of people who stated that as their reason for joining. So you get an intake form and a feedback form and look at the two and compare the number of people that said, I'm looking for a space to explore complex nuance, etc. Just wasn't there. And yet the feedback is that whatever other things that they've achieved, that's been the most important thing. Even when folks have hugely increased their income and or many other successes besides that. So I'm really intrigued to just poke a bit at what your experience of that has been from your business point of view.
I love this question because I'm going to be slightly rebellious here and say, I'm not a joiner. I don't really play well with others.
Well, I knew that about you, but it's one of the reasons I asked the question.
and I'm not really. Like, I actually find it's tricky for me to be in spaces around businesses, partly because I tend to find it quite tricky to find places where I can really let my vulnerability show and just say, this is the thing, now I have no freaking idea what I'm doing about and what should I do here? Like, personally, I find that tricky. And that fits with my self-doubt profile, right? Which is always about overworking and overproving and not disappointing people.
Yep.
So I purposefully chose to work with a business coach one-to-one. And then she invited me earlier this year to join what she calls her inner circle, which is for multi-six-figure business owners. That's the sole criteria to get in there, which I have to say, I both love and hate the exclusivity of it. One, there's a part of me that is like 14, and wants to be with the cool kids.
With you.
That is like, oh my God, I'm in the room. And there's another part of me that's like, oh my God, this is horrific. As an entry criteria. So one of the things I would say is that I don't think of it as a community. And the reason for that is because community is what you and I have, a friendship that's offline where if one of us is sick or our other friends are sick, I'm coming around doing your laundry and cooking for you.
Yep.
That feels like community to me. You might do this for your clients. I don't know. That could be extra to your offer, right?
Well, let's just say the fact that I mooned the delivery driver this morning when the parcel came was only shared, well, up until this point anyway, with close friends in community. So I feel you.
Yeah. So there are people that get to see my naked ass. And then there are a supportive circle, like the inner circle.
Yeah.
And what I love about being part of that group is the conversations that we have.
Yeah.
And there's about half a dozen of us in that group in the cool time that I'm in. And several of them are millionaires. They are earning far greater numbers of income than me. They have different lives. They have different lifestyles, different belief systems. What I like about being in that room is I get that inside track of getting to have these conversations, getting completely different perspectives, viewpoints, belief systems thrown at me. Mm-hmm. And I get to discern what is useful to me, what could help my business. I also have found that when I do say, I've got no freaking idea how to do this, I never know what the feedback is going to be. It's been such a edgy and developmental experience for me just to be in the room with people that I probably wouldn't be friends with outside of that group.
Yeah.
But also
for sure.
Some I would. Like, and it's been really interesting just to go, oh, look at us women all over the world doing our thing. And I get to be in that room having those conversations, and the quality of thinking, the quality of decision making, the way that we are approaching work. Yeah. It's very cool. Like, I'm very excited to see where that takes me. And I have to say, we have this very shared value of being utterly in service of our respective clients.
Yep.
And that's enough of a golden thread to keep us connected. And Ali does a great job of holding all of those different energies in a way that is really skilled, I think. So all to say that when you're in different stages of business, you might want and need different things from those holding spaces. All the research tells me that when we are in times of vulnerability, we feel the least ready and resourced to reach out to groups. And it's the thing we need the most. It's the thing that will have the most positive long-term effect on our own sense of self and our own sense of what's possible for us. All the research around adult development talks about safe holding spaces. That's the freaking magic bullet.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes that work, if you like, is that you are willing to be vulnerable and be held in that space. It's a holding space for a reason, right? So that's the thing that I have found is the most important aspect of any business mastermind, community, or online community, inner circle, whatever you're calling it. When you show up real and allow yourself to be held by that space and show up coachable, right? Like, show up without all your shit together, all shiny, polished and tidy.
Yeah.
That's the secret.
Yeah. Coachable and brave, right?
It is so brave.
Yeah.
And I've had experiences where I've just thought, oh my God, I just want to throw up with everything I talked about, because now you're going to think that I'm this scattered, clueless person. But actually, the amount of feedback you get, which is, hey, just checking in, I was so helped by what you shared. I feel this too. This is happening for me. Or here's that resource I talked about. Hope it helps. Like, we always, I think, have a more judgmental view of our own vulnerabilities and uncertainties than everyone else.
Yeah. Being in group programs over the last few years has been a game changer for me. Partly because of support in my business. Yes, sure. I also like to work with someone one-to-one, so I'm with you. But mainly for all the reasons that you just explained, that giving me the permission, confidence, that sort of stand down the inner panic to be able to gradually play with what it feels like showing up and being vulnerable. And probably the biggest lesson of all has been learning, sometimes well, probably sometimes less well, I'm sure, to hold, curate the space in our mastermind in a way that I am both holding it and curating it, if you like, and also contributing in as vulnerable and as open and as brave a way as the folks that are in it. And that's been absolutely fascinating over the last 9 months to navigate that small but huge, which is a weird thing to say, I know, but nuance between what is my role as the person whose name is on the door, so to speak, and therefore Pippa's learning and belief system would have me believe that that's therefore my role. You know, I'm supposed to be in charge of this situation. So got to be all over it, got to be all up and together and all that kind of stuff. And realizing that actually that's of no real benefit to anybody within the group, least of all myself. And it's been absolutely fascinating thing to navigate live whilst holding said space.
Hi there, it's Pippa. While we're talking all things disobedient business, I'd love to invite you to our latest workshop, Create Your Disobedient Business Manifesto. Over 3 hours, we'll be exploring where playing nicely by the rules is getting in your way, what disobedience could look like for you, and creating your disobedient business manifesto so that you can define success on your own terms and fuck some business shit up while you're doing it. Save your spot from Wednesday the 29th of June at disobedientbusiness.com/manifesto.
I love that so much. And having contributed to one of your mastermind calls, that was my experience of the way you show up, is that, and this is why I think we're pals, is you're 100% Pippa 100% of the time.
Not my naked ass then, no.
Sometimes, hopefully. I should be so lucky. But this is the thing, Lucy, you're exactly the same, right?
Well, it's Pippa.
The apple did not fall far from the tree, in that you are 100% you 100% of the time as well, as we're getting to know each other and working together. And I love humans like that. I just love that experience of feeling safe, because there's no mask. There's no pretense. There's no image. And I think that's the thing that is juicy and interesting and real. And it feels so good to be connected to folks like that. And I think when you're navigating all the vulnerabilities and uncertainties of a business, especially in this day and age, as we come out of a global pandemic and rush headlong into a recession, that's like,
woohoo,
neat, you know? And part of that, I think, is we need each other. Like, that's what we're all learning through this. Even as self-reliant and experienced and skilled as we all are, we still need each other. We can't really do this alone.
So much truth in that. I love, because I highly anticipated this, that we've taken this conversation in just about every direction other than the one that I might have planned, which is perfect, literally perfect. Lou, have you got any last thoughts to share?
Yes. Sass, I would love to ask you what you've learned over the years about how not to try and seek this community or create this community from a service provider point of view. Basically, where has it all gone to shit? What are the lessons to learn? When is it royally fucked up? And what's the takeaway from either where you've experienced it and it's been like, oh God, no, what an absolute clusterfuck that was. Or when you've been having these community, especially with you and your business, having that space with these people that are working through things that are so vulnerable for them. But what are the kind of lessons learned throughout the years?
It's a great question, Lou. So I think the thing that I have found personally and the thing that I've experienced personally about really good quality holding spaces, like people who just really can own our circle of people, the good ones are universally supported themselves. So they have their own sources of support, validation, challenge, all of that is well taken care of. And the reason I think that is so fundamentally important is that it means that you then don't give that job to the group. Because, and I think one of the reasons that you, Pippa, are able to show up in the way you are is that your needs are taken care of and you don't project those into the group. And I think when I've seen this go really wrong, it's because the facilitator, the space holder, hasn't quite found that in themselves. And so what they will tend to do is what I call the sort of four horsemen of the apocalypse when it comes to this. We end up convincing people that they are way better at something than they believe themselves to be, which is a way of really just invalidating somebody's experience. But I see how great you are. Don't you see how great you are? Right? That energy is so icky. We end up blaming them because they don't do what we know that they're capable of doing. So it's like, did you do the thing? No. Well, there's going to be consequences. They may be unspoken, right? but their energy is palpable for everyone else. We end up rescuing people where we try to solve for them and let them know that it's okay. They don't have to do the hard thing. Or we end up colluding their limiting beliefs. I don't use that phrase. I call it self-protection. Right. So whatever beliefs or behavior that you're using to keep yourself safe, where you're holding back from doing the thing that you know you can do, we end up colluding with them and saying, yeah, it's so hard for you. I get it. Because often the facilitator has the same doubts and fears and they have not healed those. So those, the convincing, blaming, rescuing, colluding, they are, for me, the signs of a group that is not going to function in a safe way. And I talk about safety as in psychologically safe. And for me, that just means that it's safe to bring your whole self to the group, whether you've got all your shit together or not, all of your identities, all of your fears, worries, doubts, and stuff that gets in the way. Your perimenopausal self is so welcome here, right? It also means we're psychologically safe when we feel safe to make mistakes, and we're psychologically safe when we feel safe to take risks. So those elements are really, really important for a group to function. And it means that people can make mistakes and say the wrong thing or not quite get it right or bring an issue to the group that isn't fully thought through, right? Like, I've got this vague sense that something isn't working and that they are supported in how to figure that out. So I think those things are really, really important, and they all sit with the responsibility of the facilitator. The group is just going to group. They're just going to show up. There's going to be all that different energy. People are going to come at this from different angles. They're just going to be human. But when a facilitator can really show up in that place of self-belief and totally have all the other bits taken care of, it will hum along beautifully.
100%.
You'll get the kind of feedback that you guys get.
Yeah. Amazing. Wow. It's like Pippa said, it's not the conversation that I thought it was going to be, but what a chat. And I've definitely got things to take away from it. Thank you so much for coming on, Sass, and for talking to us about self-doubt and disobedience and community a bit and just everything. But before we go, where can everyone find you online and follow along?
Thank you so much for having me. Total pleasure. Anytime. Best place to find me is probably the gram. I'm just at Sass Petherick on Instagram. And if you follow the link in my bio, you'll be able to find my website, which is selfbelief.school. If you say it fast, it sounds like self-belief school. It's cool, right? And I've got a podcast called Courage and Spice, which is for humans with self-doubt. So you can tune into that as well.
Which is awesome. And that's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for more disobedient business malarkey and a touch more fucking with the business status quo. We will see you next Tuesday.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do share the love, either by leaving a rating and review on iTunes or Spotify, or by tagging us on Instagram.
You can get more Disobedient Business content by following us at Disobedient Business Co. on Instagram, or why not take the Disobedient Business quiz and find out just how disobedient your business is at disobedientbusiness.com/quiz.